You're listening to the Comic Crusaders Podcast. I am your host, Al Mega, CEO of Comic Crusaders and Undercover Capes. In this show, I'm sitting down with creators from all walks of life to talk about inspiration, process, the lessons they've learned, and a whole lot more.
Amantas, your boy Al Mega. Welcome to a brand new Comic Crusaders Podcast. And today, we're talking indie comics, baby. Some comics goodness. A great Kickstarter project with only hours to go. Needs our support. I mean, it's made it, but we got to make it rain. It is funded, but let's make it rain, baby. Put that money into indie. Let me introduce the author. He's also a digital media arts educator. Publisher of Plague Doctor Press comic, right? He is the creator of this dope project called Spirit, right? The one, the only, Mr. Mark Bell!
Wow! Thank you so much, Al. That was such a great introduction. I'm completely blown away by that.
Well, you're the man, you're the boss, you got this fire project, great book. I enjoyed, thank you for that over issue one. I got to enjoy that first story. I didn't get into the rest because you actually came early. Yay! Look at this. Long-time creator, folks. An example of showing up to a podcast. Make sure everything works. Thank you for that, Mark.
you got to make sure your audio levels are right. You got to make sure I can hear you. You can hear me. All that good stuff.
So, again, thank you for wanting to hang out today and talk a bit about your journey and, of course, this fantastic project that you got out there on Kickstarter. But like I said, hours to go, folks. The link's right there. Spirit with three Sasquatch love. Ooh, we're going to get into that. We're going to learn. We're going to learn all about it. So before we get into that, let's really back just a bit. Mark, I need to know a bit about your origin story. Let us know where you were originally from and the first thing in fandom that you ever fell in love with.
So I'm originally from Canada. I live in the U.S. now. I live in Indiana, which will come into play later. But I got to say, probably Sunday mornings, sitting down and watching Star Trek, the original series, okay, in syndication on Canadian television. It wasn't on any other time. It was on like at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And I got to tell you, Mom, I don't want to go to church. I want to watch Star Trek.
I'll go to the church of the Trek.
and then, so that became like, you have that moment where both Star Trek.
Mark, did I lose you? Did they beam him away from
that
us?
Stuff? I'm not sure what happened there. Batman 66 was in syndication then. And to find out both those shows are done, like you only have a finite number of episodes. And I lived in the middle of nowhere in Canada. So no magazines, no internet, no nothing like this. So I was sad that Star Trek was done. And then I started going to see movies, and that Star Trek One, the motion picture movie, the trailer came on, and I'm like, those guys are still alive? They must be really old now. Now you look at that now and you're like, oh, I'm older than those guys. But I got to see that. And at the same time, I'm going to town, to the drugstore, to the grocery store, and getting books off spinner racks. And getting Batman with Terry Austin doing the work on that. Ooh. I'm getting George Perez, the Crisis on the Infinite Earths and Teen Titans and all that stuff. And just as I really start getting excited about comics, a friend of mine starts working in a comic book shop, and the idea of a comic book shop and the direct market starts. And then I'm into the late 80s and Black and White Revolution and Dark Knight and Watchmen and all that. And I got to live all that stuff and just absolutely loved it. Me and my best friend did art, and I was always the writer person. And we had, like, we couldn't even get a copy of Making Comics the Marvel Way. Like, We didn't have the tryout book. We didn't have anything like that. Those were hard to get then.
Yeah.
And so we were trying to figure out how to make comics with just the end product. And that's a hard thing to do. So we tried a couple of times and we learned more and more. But, you know, then college and work and marriages and all that stuff and kids and all that stuff.
Darn life gets in the way.
It does. And, you know, I always wanted to write comics and I had flirted with it off and on. I'd written scripts and stuff like that, but never really pursued it. And I was always reading. I'd always be picking up books all the time. Not so much in the late 90s, that sort of image period of comics and that Top Cow stuff. It didn't sit with me. It didn't resonate with me. There was some stuff happening then, but I went more independent at that point in time and reading all sorts of things. And then you get into Chris Ware and Crumb and all those things. And you start to really begin to realize that comics are so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then you get all of a sudden you're like, I turned 50 this year. I guess better get going and do some stuff. And one of the things I always wanted to do was to do a comic. And this is in 2018. And I was like, okay, I'm going to have to pay somebody to draw this because I can't draw. It's not that I can't draw. I can draw enough of a sketch to give to an artist. I can draw page layouts, but I'm not what the idea is in my head.
Yeah,
don't get to the paper. And it's practice and all those things. And I might get there at some point in time. But I knew I was going to hire an artist. And it was so very important to me, especially in 2018. I don't know if you remember this, but the whole artist should be paid and not paid by exposure.
It was going on.
Yeah. And it's still going on, but it's less so now than it was. Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to have to pay somebody to do this because they deserve to be paid.
Of course, they're doing work, right?
That is hard work. And to me, I don't know about you, but when an artist, when I give them an idea and they come back with a sketch and it's better because we've collaborated on, that's magic, man. That is the best magic.
Indeed.
So I wrote, the first thing an artist is going to ask me is, can I read the script? So I knew I had to have a script done. And in December of 2018, I'm looking through previews and I'm saying dudes in underwear fighting. And I got to tell you, I love my Daredevil comics. I love my Batman comics. I read all that stuff every single month. Dudes in underwear fighting, I'm all for it. But there's a lot of it. And if you like it, that's great. If you don't like it, it's not great. But I knew if I was going to do anything that related to me as a person, that is not what related to me as a person. Second of all, I'm not seeing a lot of young women. So, not dudes in underwear, not old white guys. So I'm not seeing a lot of women, and I'm not seeing people of color.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, okay, I want a comic book that is people of color friendly, diversity friendly, science positive, and not necessarily conflict free, because there's conflict in the comic that you read, but it is resolved through non-violent means. You can have conflict and drama and interest without having violent means.
Absolutely.
So because of that, I wrote a 120-page graphic novel for Spirit Number One. I got to tell you, Al, this is a great thing. It's beautiful. But when I eventually talked to the artist, and we'll talk a little bit about her, but we were like, we can't do 120 pages. We're going to have to cut this down.
120, man. You were letting out those years of weight all at once.
Yep. So I wrote the script, and then I kickstarted this book called Kicking Ice, which was a women's hockey comic.
And was that your first Kickstarter?
That was the first Kickstarter I supported. I didn't do anything for this, but I supported.
How did you find Kickstarter?
I'm sure my buddy's big into board games, and I'm sure he suggested that there was comics on Kickstarter now. Okay. And I was like, well, these people did this. I could do this.
Okay.
And so now a 21-year-old goes about these things different than a 50-year-old. And I'm like, okay, I need to research this long before I do anything. So I'm going through all these Kickstarters and looking at ones that are successful and ones that are not successful and trying to figure out what parts the successful ones have, because that's the way you do things, right? And
you don't hate, you emulate.
Yes, absolutely. And in one of those Kickstarters for an anthology called Local Hauntings, I saw this picture by this woman named Melissa Caprione, who did the art for Spirit. And that was the picture in my brain. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I need to contact her. Now, I'm a 50-year-old dude who's married with kids. And I had no idea how old she was. I had no idea where she was. I was like, okay, I need to have my wife read this email. I need to have my kids read this email. Because I don't want to come off as some crazy lunatic old guy, right?
I hear you.
So I send the email. And I'm like, oh, I'm never going to hear from her. Because her work is beautiful. It's absolutely stunning. So I was like, it's crazy. And she's going to be like $500 a page. So she emails me back and goes, yeah, it's a good idea. And here's my page rate. Let's go. I was like, okay.
Ooh, nice.
And Melissa had done a couple of Kickstarters for her webcomic. So she had a network already. And she had a Discord already for that network. And I was like, she was, let's see, she would be 23 at the time. She was professional. She was on time. She was not afraid to say, no, that's not how you do things. We do them like this. And and upfront with me about them and the story. And I was like, okay, when you find people you can work with and it's comfortable, you work with those people forever as much as you possibly can. Okay. And I knew her.
Especially if they check you too.
Sorry?
They check you, you know, they're telling you, nah, that, you know, they actually like, no, the people that, yes, people are not the right people.
Yes. So even though if we had a kickstarted the 120 page graphic novel, that would have been like 30K. That's a hard Kickstarter right out of the gate.
Oh, yeah. And 50-year-old rookie, Mark Bell, first project.
With brand new IP, like non-recognizable IP and all sorts of things. So I took 120 pages and put it into 22. Okay. And there were lots of things I cut there. Wow. But, you know, you got to cut it to make it a complete story. Because if I'm going to fund a Kickstarter, I'm going to get a book, maybe not. It's certainly not monthly. Maybe I'll get two books a year from this.
Yeah.
I want a complete story in that book. And to the point where the 32-page books now, I'm almost calling them like graphic novellas because it's a whole complete story, but there's a little extra on it too. It's kind of the Buffy universe model, right? There's a big bad, and there's a big overview. But you don't have to read that story in the first issue. The first issue has a beginning, middle, and end, and has a complete story. It introduces the characters and does all sorts of good things.
I like to think of that on the Beast Wars terms of the cartoon. You know, yeah. People watched each episode individually, but there was an underlying theme throughout the season.
That's absolutely what I wanted to do. So with Melissa's help, we got it into a format, and I worked with her to create the characters, and we went live with that Kickstarter in June of 2019, and it was nerve-wracking and crazy, but we were successful. And that is something that makes you feel good, that somebody is willing to go to a website, enter their credit card information, and put down money and says, yeah, I've backed this project. Now, Melissa's art, it sells that book, man. I love the story, and lots of people have come back to me and said they like the story, but I always have those books open on my tables at cons because people see the art and are absolutely in love with it. So
a little bit, because you're teasing them. We're talking about art. Let's bring a little bit. I mean, because they can't see that beautiful background, but look at this, just this image right there. I mean, isn't that, the colors just pop. Let me put that on a bigger screen. Look at this. Isn't that gorgeous?
Yeah, that's absolutely gorgeous. And what I like about her art style is the three books, Spirit 1, 2, and 3, the characters are all different in each book, but recognizable. Like, okay, Ada is still Ada, but they don't wear the same clothes. They're not, you know, they change over time. So, and I noticed, just if you go back to the Kickstarter and scroll down a little bit, to the first page.
And it was the full page. Look at that, though. Yeah. Oh, that's so fire.
If you notice, so this is Mary, the Hispanic character. Her hair, the dye is coming out of it. So it has a little bit of dark on her roots that in the earlier issues was all blue and pink.
Gotcha.
And like, she does little things like that without even having to talk about it. She's so easy to work with.
You got me nervous when you said the dye is coming off. I thought she was having a Rudy Giuliani moment.
No. So then, you know, 2019, the pandemic hits and everything slows down. And we do our best possible to get that book done and out as soon as we can. And we do, but we don't get around to kickstarting the second issue till the 21st of November. No, till November 21. Now, all this time, Melissa's still doing all this amazing work, including signing a deal with Dark Horse to do a graphic novel that she wrote called Basil and Oregano. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. So now I'm working with Dark Horse artists. This is like serious.
Nice.
And so we do issue 2, and I wanted it to be each of the stories has a kind of main character. And so this main character in the second issue was Mary, the Hispanic character, and it revolves around a friend of theirs who's grandmother can't afford to help with the quinceañera because she's being taken advantage of by this fake psychic. So it is not a, like, it borrows from Hispanic culture, but isn't a Hispanic culture book. Yeah. And I worked with whole family, a Hispanic family that I knew very well, that read it and loved it. And I just want, like, to me, those things should be celebrated and positive. There's lots of stories of gay characters, of Hispanic characters, of people of color characters having difficulties in life. And I absolutely understand those difficulties as best as my bias as a white man I can do. But I want to provide a view, the world of positive and uplifting. Mm-hmm. The characters are aware of those biases and prejudices, but they're not dwelling upon them. They move through them as strong characters. And the villain of that second book is Hispanic too, because there's good guys and bad guys all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed writing that. Get issue two out. And the amazing thing about issue two, and I've seen it again now in issue three, because we did so well in issue two and brought so many new people onto the Kickstarter, I had to reprint and do a second printing of issue one.
Oh, nice. So you sold out of that first volume, that first printing?
Yes, I sold out of the first printing, and then we did Spirit 2, and I went to a couple of cons and did really well. But Spirit was a great book to have on my table, but I wanted to have more books on my table. So I did a book called Strange Ranger, which is about a young woman who on her first job is put in charge of this supernatural park. And she's like a park ranger, and all these weird and crazy things happen in this park. And I contacted this guy who I'd been following for a while from the Dominican Republic. His name's Janssen Carbonell. Mm-hmm. And he was, first of all, when I messaged him, he was like, you and Melissa do Spirit. That's amazing stuff. And I was like, well, thank you very much, but I'd like you to do this comic. And it was funny because I sent his artwork to Melissa going, what do you think of Janssen's artwork? And she's like, well, it's great, but he's not allowed to do Spirit. I do Spirit. I said, no, I want him to do another thing. And
man, she put her foot down, quit it now.
And so Janssen came in, and one of my best friends just gave a huge compliment the other day, because he said, you put Spirit and Strange Ranger beside each other, and they look like the same company, but they're different stories and different books, but they have the same vibe. And I was like, well, that's what I want. Because I want a table at a con, because you know, you're not a young man. You remember how cons used to be, where it was long boxes and dudes as far as the eye could see.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I kind of miss those shows because you could find great deals.
Oh, yeah.
Before the hype. That's the only thing I miss. Okay, folks, don't misconstrue me. My word there. The deals in those long boxes with people that were collectors, not speculators.
Yeah. So now I want a table that any young person could come up to. So I do all old ages books, right? They can look at any of my books. A parent can see that I have a sign on my table that says kid friendly comics. So they can, because I've seen parents at cons, the kid runs up to the table and they're not sure what's on that table.
Oh man, I agree.
Artwork
on some booths, so you're like, oh my God.
and that stuff is great, but
man,
that's not the table I want to run.
Yeah.
And then I want a table in which a little girl can come in and see little girls in the comic, right? See young women.
Influence. Not a happy woman.
People of color on the cover of every one of my comics. Like that is important to me. So
he practices what he preaches, folks. Again, just look at it right here. You could see all the different shades right there.
Yep. So then Spirit 2 took a little longer because, you know, I got to tell you, I was in line behind Dark Horse because I don't got Dark Horse money.
I hear you. Hey, man, Dark Horse is making moves. They even got Mark Millar today.
I know. I saw that. So Melissa is like a star. So I'm like, every time I'm like, would you like to do Spirit 3? And she's like, okay, I'm the only one to do Spirit, and here is my rate for Spirit forever. I'm like, okay. So that book is kickstarted number three. I'm going to have to do a third printing of issue one and a second printing of issue two.
Whoa.
And I've almost sold enough Strange Rangers in the original Kickstarter and this Kickstarter to maybe do a Strange Ranger second printing before it even gets the first printing done.
Oh, damn. You're on those diamond levels, brother. Sign
no, up. It's not quite the diamond levels, but it is by far success beyond my wildest dreams.
I mean, you see, folks, this is Mark is a perfect example. See, just start, man. When you start, what dude, you're inspiring me here, seeing so much wonderful success. And, you know, yeah, you waited, but, you know, you waited and your beautiful product. And folks, let me bring this up on screen once more. Let's talk about this real quick. Look, this man is near 3,500, but he has reached 4,385. A big salute to you, 176 backers. Thank you guys for supporting Indy. With only 16 hours to go, that means you watchers and listeners right now still have an opportunity to dive in and take part in this beautiful project. Wonderful year, positive too, because we need this in comics, folks. I'm digging the vibe. Let me tell you, I have ideas for the future, and you're the type of people I want to work with. You know, let's bring this industry back to, you know, nice value, some fun, you know, family, fun time, you know, great comics. And again, show the diversification of comics, not just in characters, but story and tone and all. You know, thank you, brother. You're a forward thinker.
Well, and, you know, all of those things are now available. Because somebody says, I like space comics with big ships and dudes in spacesuits. You can find that now.
Everywhere.
And you can find exactly what you're looking for and the stories you like. And I just think that we are so blessed that we can connect with so many people all over the world. It makes me feel so good that I send comics to Germany and England and Canada and Australia and all over the world so that it can be read by all these people. And that is success to me. You know, I know I'm, you know, I got my Batman script in my head. I got my Daredevil script in my head. But if those never happen, I'm okay with that because I got to tell you, when a young female reader picks up my book and is excited, like right there, yeah, I have a sticker too. Like, and so many, I have talked to so many parents that are like, they liked comics, but we weren't sure what to get them. So that's why we wanted to create that positive, excited, interesting vibe. So
yes, you're one of a few creators I've spoken to that are going on that vibe, you know, that more family unity, you know, again, diversity in a nice way. Because again, I was reading the first book and I didn't feel like anything being shoved in my face. It was just part of the world, and it was a wonderful story of some girls, you know, I felt like a Scooby-Doo story.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's LGBTQ Scooby-Doo, sometimes I call it, or queer Ghostbusters. and that is like, in the second issue, there are two female characters who kiss. That's as far as I would ever go in any of my comics. But I think it is important for young women to see that it's okay that women kiss, and that relationship is not super fast. It's not sexual or anything like that. And I think in the second issue, they do a good job of kind of, you know, when there are people in your friends group who start to go out, you got to make fun of them a little bit and have fun with it. But nobody's sour or anything like that, you know? It's just not, those things exist, and there are a lot of comics that have those. And I just wanted to be a comic that was a bit different.
Well, and look at that, folks. Look how easy you could chip into different. For a buck, you know what I mean? With no reward. Just want to be nice. You're generous. You could throw in a buck to the right there. Other than that, we can start getting digital editions of Spirit Number 3 for $5. All right? Nice PDF copy. Now, you want print? You want to smell the ink, baby? Start at $10. Now, what type of paper are we using on this?
So I use Comics Wellspring to print these books.
Let's see. And
they do such a good job. It's all glossy paper, 32 pages, full color, just unbelievable art.
There you go. Boom.
Just.
Ooh, yeah, nice gloss. I see that. Absolutely. Let's see the spine. Let's see the spine on that book, because everybody wants to know the girth of a book for some show porn. There you go. There you go. Nice. There we go.
And you got a nice image on the back. It's amazing what you can produce through print on demand now. And
so different than when we were growing up, huh, Mark?
Well, you know, I talked to a friend of mine, Matt, in England, who's kind of doing the same thing I'm doing in England, but he's in England. And there's part of me that wishes I had started black and white, because these books are expensive to make. So I got to raise more money on Kickstarter. But my book can stand against any book in any shop in the country.
I agree. I think.
And because of that, I'm glad I went the route that I did.
It'll allow you more freedom as well. Because, you know, you take this to a publisher, you're going to have somebody else chop it up in a way you probably wouldn't be happy with.
Well, you know, we got contacted by a publisher after Spirit One, and we kind of got into business a little bit with them. And almost kind of, I felt forgotten. They did a con and our book wasn't on the table, and
oh wow,
you know, we tried to work it out, and they still do amazing work. I think they're a great publisher, but it wasn't the right fit for us, and it wasn't the right fit for what I wanted to do.
So is this where Plague Doctor Press comes from?
No, that so Plague Doctor Press was me, and then we got in touch with this other publishing house. Okay. But now I'm just doing Plague Doctor Press. It's all going to be me. I'm doing it all, baby.
Yeah, we Nobody go. Woo!
Right? Because I want that control. I want to be able to put my book on my table and control what it looks like and stuff like that. So
again, this is the era to do that, of course. Back in the day, not so easy. Or we didn't have this information highway we had and the opportunities that are present now. I mean, could you imagine the power of this back in the day with the level of creators we had? It would have been insane.
So you go back to high school, Mark, and you say you're going to have 4 books, color books, that are in stores, because I'm in a bunch of local stores.
Nice.
And you're going to be on third printing on one book, second printing on another book, and be looking at double printing other books. That high school kid wouldn't say, oh, you're an old man. You see, they'd be like, right on. That's fantastic. So I'm so pleased to have found people to work with. The thing about Melissa that was crazy was I said, the comic is set in Indiana. Is that okay with you? And she said, well, I live in Indiana too, so that's okay with me. I find out that she's 2.5 hours away from me.
Oh, shit. Small world. Look at that.
So it's absolutely fantastic. Now, Janssen, who I worked with, is in Dominican Republic. I don't know if he's going to make it to the States anytime soon, but if he is, I'm going to make sure he has a good time while he's here.
So, we tell him to make you some mango, all right? For sure. All right? For breakfast.
Okay.
You need that in your life for breakfast. You feel like a horse the whole day, like an animal. Yeah, let's go. All right, so let's get back to the project real quick. So, you know, again, I want people to get in there, know what they're getting, right? $15 bucks. What is this? Primitive Digital Edition number 3. Digital PDF copies of 1. Well, was it number 2? And
1. 1, 2, and 3.
Nice.
You get the digital ones. Beautiful. For $15. And then, so I have another book. It's called Zed, which was a web comic that I did that was a female-led super sci-fi comic.
Mm.
It was 6-page comics done with different writers, different artists from all over the world. I had a couple of guys from Argentina, a couple of other people from the States do art for me. But that was me learning how to write comics and learning how to letter comics, because I didn't want to Spirit to be my first comic that I lettered, because I knew I was going to make mistakes. So I wanted some things to learn on. So Zed, I did 8 issues of that. So that's 56 pages. I put that into a manga size book.
Hold on. Boom. There we go. All right.
Yep. And I call that season 1. And that plus the 4, the 3 spirits and the Strange Ranger are the 5 books for PDP, which is nice. Like Dr. Press. So you can get digital versions of that. Then you can get Spirit 3 with stickers. Now, if you scroll back up, let me talk about.
You gotta make a t-shirt, though. Are you done with PDP? Yeah, you know.
You know me. If you scroll back up to the stickers, I'll talk about the artist that I had do the stickers. So her name is Maru Develos. She's Argentinian, because I try as much as possible to only hire marginalized creators. So women, people of color, LGBTQ, that's those people. Like I had a guy who was a white guy who did great art, but I was like, you're going to have lots of opportunities. I want to provide opportunities for other people.
Yeah.
And it's not that I have anything against you. It's just, I want to provide those opportunities.
You have a lane, you're going on your lane, you know, and again, I understand that, you know, and good on you, you know, just stick. Support that you want to support, man.
And Maru did the stickers for this Kickstarter, and these are just her sketches. But if you notice, again, it fits that vibe. It fits the vibe of the whole company, and having a clear direction and a clear understanding of where I'm started and where I'm going helps so much, because I get people pitch me comics every once in a while or pitch me art. And I'm like, that's great, but it's not for me. It's not my table. It's not my thing. And what I try to do is say, have you looked at these guys? They might be a better fit for you. Mm-hmm. So that's the sticker set. So you can get Spirit 3 and the sticker set, the print version there for $25. If you scroll down, we can go through the other rewards now. The rewards there.
The sticker say.
Yeah. And then you can get Spirit 1, 2, and 3, the print editions for $30.
Ooh, 30 beans.
Excellent. If you're a retailer like my local, you can get 5 copies of Spirit 3 for $45. You can get all Spirit and the sticker set for $45. So that's all print versions of the books plus the stickers.
Excellent.
There are a couple of early birds for $45, and there are only 5 of these left.
Ooh.
You can get all 5 Spirit books, all 3 Spirit books, plus Strange Ranger, plus the Zed Omnibus. So you get 5 comics for $45.
Folks, this is a nice deal, and with the holidays here approaching, jump on this stocking stuffer, folks.
Yeah.
Let's go. What are you waiting for? Look at it. And again, you're supporting amazing indie creators right here.
Yep. And then Melissa also offers very nicely a commission, different commissions. And then I have a retailer level for all the books. Nice. And then all the books plus all the Spirit books plus sticker and commission. And then there are a couple of ones that are already gone. So,
and that one, sticker and commission and everything. Look at that. Only one left. Yep. Jump on it. Let's push this. Let's push this to much higher.
And then I got to tell you, because I love my local, You got to have a local, a comic shop that you go to all the time. I'm putting my comic shop in the comic. My local comic shop and the proprietor appears in Spirit 3. And then one of my big backers is going to be there with his daughter in the comic book shop, too.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, man. Thank you. You give back to everyone. Man, creators, retailers, the community with awesome incentives when they support this amazing project. You get 16 hours to go, folks.
Well, you know,
let's get to 5,000, folks. Come on.
So the first thing is, you don't get into this as a money making thing. I do this because I love this. I do this because I love comics. I love making comics with people. That is absolutely fantastic. Second of all, so I was at a con, and there was a young man at this con. It was obviously his first con, and he had drawn a comic, and clearly he had help with some of the work with his parents. They probably paid for a small print run, you know. And he showed up at a con. He didn't have a cloth for his table. He didn't have a sign. He didn't have anything. It obviously first out of the book. And I went over.
You said first out the book. I mean, shit, first out of his life, period. Yeah. Probably. Jeez.
So I went over. I gave him my extra cloth. I said, let's set you up. Put your books out on display like this. I practiced his pitch with him so that he could talk to people about his book. And I said, this is what you want to do. And these are some of the things you're going to have people who say, I'm going to come back later. We're walking all around. That's okay. That sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. You can't cling on to that. I gave him a couple of things of advice. And I went back to my table, and the guy next to me was like, that was great of you to do, man. I'm like, we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always go around if I don't buy your book at a con, like you're an independent, if I don't buy your book, I'm going to sit down and talk to you and find out about you at least a little bit, you know, because everybody can teach me something. So I'm always open to new ideas and hearing new things. And if I like your book, I'm going to give you money right there.
You're making rain on you, just like you need to make it rain on him for this amazing project right now. So you were mentioning cons. You know, I know that the year is winding down. We're in the last month already. Any shows or any more shows coming up, or are you done?
I'm done for the year. I do too big, too small. So big one is multi-day con for me. A small one is just a single day con. Because I live near Indianapolis, I actually kind of live in the center of a lot of cons, so I can go to a lot. I'm going to do Indianapolis Comic Con in March. I had such a good time at that show last time and such a great response from people. There will be people there who bought Spirit 1 and 2 last year and will be hopefully buying Spirit 3 or at least Strange Ranger by then.
They'll be buying both.
Yeah. So that con, I'll probably do a big one in Louisville or Cincinnati because that's kind of close to me. And it's easier if I can drive. And then I'll do Louisville. And there's a one-day one I do in Columbus, Ohio. I really like Columbus, Ohio. That's a real comic town. A lot of people forget that it's a very big comic town. So just a couple of things like that. I don't like to travel in the winter, you know.
You want to hibernate like the bears. I hear you. Me too.
Well, I just don't want to be on the road late at night when it's snowing.
When it's pitch black dark at 4 o'clock, you know?
Yeah. So, and then I haven't planned out next year, but Janssen, I just talked to him today. So not only Strange Ranger, Janssen did all the interior artwork. He did a beautiful cover. Melissa did a variant cover for that book, too. Oh, so those are available as add-ons on this Kickstarter. And because we passed 4K yesterday, Janssen's doing a variant cover for Spirit Number 3, too. So I'll have two covers of Spirit Number 3, one by Janssen and one by Melissa. So that's fantastic. I get to, you know, do more creative, interesting, beautiful work with these young creators that are just so exciting to work with. So easy to work with and so professional to work with.
That's a beautiful thing to hear, Mark. You know, and based on how you got started on the journey and the way you're navigating it, you're doing the right things here, man. You know, as a fan to a creator, just thank you, my brother, for, you know, stepping out of your lane and taking the dive and doing what you're doing. And you're doing an amazing job. And, you know, I see nothing but greatness, man. I'm digging the vibe. And I think you definitely have a beautiful open road ahead of you that's going to take you so many different ways. I think you're going to be able to spit out that Batman and Daredevil pitch one day for real. Don't you worry. All right. So last thing before we go, any words of advice to anyone?
Okay. The biggest thing that I want to say is make comics, like actually get like an 8-page single page stick figure mini comic. Make 20 of them, make 100 of them, go to a con and sell them. The more you make, the better your product is going to get. And do not get caught up in, you know, that moment for me of maturity, I think, when I looked at the 120-page graphic novel I wrote and said, this is not the right project for now. So because of that, I'm going to put this away and do something else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the more stuff you do, the more little things you do, the better. Because if you're an artist, do a bunch of anthologies. You'll work with other people. You'll get a more professional attitude. You'll deal with editors. You'll deal with deadlines, right? And it's not going to be perfect, but it'll be finished. And done is so much more important than perfect, because no book is perfect. Man, you know, Frank Miller's got to look at Dark Knight and go, I don't like that page. He's got to.
No, I'm sure.
But he got it done and he got it out. And that is so much more important. And you're going to make mistakes and there'll be little things that you forget, but people forgive you when they have a beautiful book in their hands. Make more. And along that lines is read more. I talk to a lot of people about comics and I'm like, what are you reading right now? And they're like, well, you know, I'm not reading a lot of comics. I'm just writing comics. I'm like, if you're not reading comics, you don't know what's going on in the business. You don't know what's going on in the field, and you don't know what the tropes and the cliches that are in the business now, because that's constantly changing.
Yeah.
You go into a comic book store now and there is so much variety and so many different, like, the independent shelves in my local comic book shop are twice as large as DC and Marvel. It's not to say that DC and Marvel aren't doing great stuff. They certainly have done some amazing stuff this year, but everybody is doing amazing stuff.
Yeah.
If you had told little high school version of me that there would be so much diversity and so much beauty.
A little high school version of you would have been mowing half of your state in order to buy every book.
Yeah. and just so many artists. Now, the guy who directed Apocalypse Now, blanking on his name, he said in the 70s that eventually there would be a little girl in Iowa with a camera who would win an Academy Award. And that is now possible. Mm-hmm. Like, Melissa works as a full-time comic artist in Fort Wayne, Indiana. She pays her own mortgage, she has vehicle, she has goes on vacation. That was unheard of 25, 30 years ago, to have a comic book artist who could live, had to live on the coast if you were a comic book artist, and certainly couldn't be your own salesperson, for example, or get an agent, because she is an agent now. Like, that is so available to people now. If you have an idea, make your comic. Just make it. Just get stuff out there. And especially now with web comics, if you have a partial idea, put that partial idea out on web comics. Oh. Webtoons, it may resonate with people. It gets you on a schedule. When you look at the work like a professional, it doesn't mean it has to be uncreative or like a job, but it has to be professional. You have to say, so here's an example. In my contracts, I have my dates that I pay my artists. I have not missed a date. You don't miss dates.
Yeah.
You don't want that reputation. You do not want that reputation. I don't want to miss a single date with an artist. And I'll pay you, if you're not done the work, I'll still pay you, because I want you to have what you need to get the work done. Okay. And I've never been disappointed by an artist. All the different artists I've worked for have all been like the 6-page stories. I was like, I pay you up front. And they all came in on time. And nice. I was like, by being professional, you get a reputation, and it's just the right thing to do, man. Artists should be paid.
Yes, wholeheartedly. You know, and you hear that, folks? Follow that advice. Make them comics and pay them artists, especially if you're right out there, you know, they need that help. Just take care of your team, and they're going to take care of you.
Well, then all those people come back again when I'm doing Kickstarters and things like that, and they're more than happy to promote what I'm doing. So
you see, it's a very cohesive, symbiotic, you know, community, you know, in the way that we work together. You know, we're not competitors. We're all colleagues. You know, we all got different things going on. It's a beautiful, beautiful.
I know some people see it that way, that if you spend money on my book, you're not spending money on someone else's book. My book might not be the right book for everybody. So I can't see it as a competition.
Yeah, agree.
Like, if you're a guy who likes a certain type of comic, like, say, Spawn or Spawn-like comics, and that's what you like, go pay and buy the comic that's like that. Don't buy my comic, because you're not going to get what you want.
Yeah, me, I like everything. I love my Spawn, my Conan, and give me my slice of life, too. You know what I mean? My old comic shop, you should tell me, I really like looking through your pull list, because you really have like the most diverse taste in books that have out of anyone. You know, some people are just stuck on superheroes or whatever. No, me, my shit is all mixed up. Why not? Like you said, the variety, there's so much to enjoy, and it could open your mind so much.
And there is so much. Like, in just the last year, I started Stan Sakai, and I was like, why have I not been reading this forever?
Isn't it crazy? You find stuff that's been around all our lives, but only later in life we find that, okay, now it's our time to appreciate it. Maybe it's just that. You know what I mean?
Well, like, it's certainly, like, I read Watchmen and Dark Knight, and probably Killing Joke. I probably read those all every year. And there's different stuff in them every year.
Yeah, man. I get it. All right, folks, let's do that. My man got to get back to work and doing his thing. So do I. So with that, this is what you guys got to do. The links are below in the notes. But here they are once again on screen. Support this amazing Kickstarter. Hours to go, folks. A Spirit 1-3 Sasquatch Love is live now. Of course, all the socials are below as well. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and even Blue Sky. Check out Plague Dr. Press or Plague Press. Again, links are below. I make it easy. You want your one-stop shop, though? Go to PlagueDrPress.com, baby, the website. Take a look at all the awesome books and projects there. And, you know, make sure to see what his schedule's looking like, because he was in a town near you. You're going to want to get these books, get them signed, all right? And add them to your collection, because this is a great independent comics at their best. Mark, thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Al. It's been such a great time.
Now, thanks for talking comics. And with that, folks, you know what it is. Arthur tells us what to do. Hasta la próxima. Much love. Wepa!
Thank you for listening to the Comic Crusaders podcast. If you like the content, if you like this content, please subscribe and turn on notifications. Also, please visit ComicCrusaders.com and our extended podcast family over at UndercoverCapes.com. And also, make sure to download the Comic Crusaders app on the Google Play Store today.